All right, here we are. Welcome to Association Chat, your online discussion for the association community, where we warm ourselves by the virtual fire with topics of the day, welcoming thought leaders and trailblazers alike to join up in this online home for the community. I'm the host of Association Chat, Kiki Letalian, and before we get started, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to the Patreon supporters of Association Chat. It takes many hours, lots of hard work to make this show happen. And because of my wonderful Patreon patrons, it helps it all come together and keeps the show happening. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about how to become a Patreon patron, here you go. Look at the bottom of the frame here. You should have information to go find me on Patreon. And thank you. Today, we're talking to Sharon Washington. She is such a fantastic, phenomenal human being. I was introduced to her and wanted to interview her a year ago. And here we are, finally making it happen. Sharon is all about the marketing that we have to think about for our organizations and ourselves. And she's been quoted as saying, and I shared this in some of the promotions in the run-up to today's show, she's been quoted as saying, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And if you're, like, this one has taught us anything, it's that we need to be ready all the time for anything. I wanted to hear from Sharon what she had to say about how she continues to build her brand, start a movement, grow her business in the midst of a pandemic, and to see if she can give us some advice for what we can do for marketing our own association. So Sharon, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Kiki. I'm excited. I'm always excited to kind of do these things and do like a discussion about what's going on, because I know, you know, we're in the midst of uncertainty and anxiety, and so we need a bit of sunshine. And so I like to talk about the optimistic parts of what's happening.
Well, yeah. And I'll have to say this, following you on social media, you are optimistic. I mean, you are posting, and definitely you're someone who inspires me. And, you know, here it is. It's taken us forever to finally get around to doing this interview. Yeah. I've been myself. But honestly, you know, every day you're posting about whether it's, you know, health related or fashion related or business related. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And just watching everything as you're going along. And this wasn't actually originally one of the questions I wanted to ask you, but, you know, have you always been someone who, you know, sort of encourages people to join your parade or like to be cheerleaders for you? Because I have to say, like, I find myself just, I can't wait to like go and do it.
That makes me happy. So, no surprise, I was a cheerleader in high school.
Oh my God. It's like, I know. For that. That's awesome.
I was a cheerleader. And I'm all about, so my best friend teases me often because I'm always the person like, if you come out with me, if you don't have a good time, then I'm not having a good time. So I have to have you have a good time so we can have a good time, right? So I am that person where, you know, I want to build in the optimistic piece to be happy, because I believe life is to be enjoyed. And I know that sounds campy, but I seriously believe life should be enjoyed.
Yes. I mean, I think so too. And I tell you what, it's a challenge though during a year like this. But do you think like maybe you were engineered by Nate, like by God, by nature, by whatever, to like right. This time? Because you seem to be doing really well. I just want to tell people who aren't familiar with some of the work that you do, and please fill in what I don't cover. Mm-hmm. But you are, I was introduced to you as a speaker, keynote speaker, trainer, facilitator. You are a teacher for people, and you run this business where you're helping organizations and associations with marketing. And also this year, I saw your social media campaign. You're really the founder of a movement that's going on as well. well. And so you've got so much going on. It doesn't seem like something as challenging as a year like 2020, global pandemic, economic uncertainty, political divisiveness. It's like, how are you making this work?
Do you know any Leos? So I'm not big on zodiac signs, but I'm a Leo. And so we tend to be super ambitious. Whatever I put my mind to, I've been like this from day one. At least my mom tells me that, right? From what I can remember, if I want to do it, I'm going to at least try it. And so as I started to grow up and then kind of build in my professional career, I started to notice, part of the reason why I became an entrepreneur is because I didn't want anyone to hinder my lane and my steps. And so I practice that consistently in everything that I do. So I guess I was innate. It's God-given, right? I'm spiritual. So I would absolutely say this is a God-given gift and I enjoy it. One thing about this pandemic is that being an entrepreneur, pandemics happen all the time. So like you're either up or down, like this is a thing that happens. If you want to become an entrepreneur or in business, period, you have lows and you have highs. And so for me, this is about being even more resilient, even pivoting even more. Discovering, I happen to appreciate the slowdown, Kiki, because mm-hmm. I have absolutely discovered pieces of me. I thought I was an extrovert. Really, I thought I thrived off of people. I have learned some things about myself as a middle-aged adult that I probably wouldn't have learned had it not been, unfortunately, for what's happening today.
See, let's talk about that because I feel the same way, you know, and I don't know if it's fire signs. I'm a Sagittarius. I don't know if it's a fire sign thing but I feel very similar in that, you know, there are a lot of, I guess, silver linings to something like the challenges that we face this year that force us to slow down because, you know, with all of that travel, I found that by slowing down, not being able to travel and sort of staying in one spot, it almost made me more focused and powerful in what I was doing. It made me try things that I normally might not have tried or I didn't have planned to try. Right. And so what about you? Because I mean, it's okay. And I don't want to forget about The worth is valued. I want to talk about that.
Oh, we can talk about that because that is part of what happened during COVID. Like that was a process that was not planned. That was an unplanned social media campaign. So I'll start with that. Okay. So around March, you know, when everything shut down, March 12th is the last day I can remember of 2019. And I feel like it's still March 12th. It's like Groundhog Day, still March 12th. Yes. So everything seemed to be, I had this kind of optimism, like, yes, this is a slowdown. I'm going to respect the process. I'm going to lean in and respect the process and we have to slow down. So I leaned into it. And then I found myself around April and May, I was feeling overwhelmed with negativity, the news, social media, and I'm a social media marketer. So people are like, shut it off. I'm like, it's part of my job, but like, I can't really do that, right? Yeah. I can't. So I was feeling in a very low place, which is unlike me at all. So I wanted to do something. I felt like, you know, with Black Lives Matter, with it being civil unrest in the country, that I wanted to do something that was going to be authentic and integral to me and that I could do fairly easy. And so every March, so Women's History Month, I feature women every day, one woman. It's not celebrities. I dare not say regular because they are not regular women, but they aren't women that have this kind of celebrity status. It is women that I meet throughout, like I well, we'll talk about that, Kiki, later. I'd like to present you next year, but it's people that I meet throughout the year that I want to just kind of share who they are, and it's themed. So I thought, what could I do for Black men? Because at that moment, we were having really, we still are, right? Mm-hmm. Issues about what's going on with Black men, and not only police violence, but the brand around Black men.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do something that was going to be educational to people who were non-African American, but also educational to people in our in the Black culture and the Black space, because it is important for me to remind my culture that, again, our worth is valued, because it just felt like it wasn't. And I didn't even know this was going to be a thing. Like, I had told my friends, like, yeah, I'll put a call out to people I know, and I'll ask them to, like, send me a quote. And, you know, men, I love you, but you're so slow on sending quotes. So I had to kind of make it a one-word thing so that they'd be like, what do I need to do again? Like just tell me what you are.
Oh, my
God. Right? But it was getting back to building a brand of a reminder or recognizing that, hey, your worth is valued, and it is. And I had pharmacists and NFL coaches that I know. I personally know all of these people. It was about 110 men. I know all of them. I had young guys. I think our youngest person was 5 years old. He's a model a day. He's a Nike model. And so it was amazing to see it come into fruition, but it made me feel so much better about what I could do to help in these times.
Well, you know, it's in the DC area. So every morning I go up and work out with my husband or try to. And, Wisdom Martin on Fox 5 is on there. And I saw that interview that he did with you, and it was just how you were able to get over 100 different men to jump in and be a part of this. It was just really inspiring to see that. But I remember thinking, oh my gosh, you know, she is on top of this. And I know, you know, at that point I'd already met you through last year as a speaker, been following you on social media. So I'm like, where is she getting all of this time? How is she being so motivated? I want to talk a little bit about that, because I have been getting a lot of questions in the association community about people who are concerned about, you know, what can I do to make myself more marketable and to sort of, you know, deal with these uncertain times, because I'm not sure if my job's going to exist next.
Right.
I'm not sure if my association is going to downsize because we weren't able to have our annual meeting, and on and on and on. And so so I wanted to ask you this question, because even though it's about personal branding, it's actually about fortitude. And that's something seen that you have, you know, that just in so many different areas of your life. So what kind of advice do you have for people?
The first thing I would say would be to keep moving. So in this climate, it is so easy to do nothing, because we are moving at a slower pace. But when I say keep moving in a lot of ways. So if you fear that, say, employment is you're going to lose your job, and I've had lots of friends that have lost employment because of this inside the association, in and outside the association realm, start to look for other jobs. Like, make be more forward thinking. Think about what you want to do. Also, think about what you can do. Think about what you can do other than this, the pivot. So now is the time to figure out your other skill sets, or what skill sets you want to do, so that you can prepare yourself for the next career. So these things will happen. Hiccups will happen. I don't believe any job is permanent. is solid. And I think that that has helped me a lot, is that I'm able to understand the pivot, the skill sets that I have. Think in the positive, not what will happen, but what can I do to benefit myself? I just heard this quote. I'm a professor at Trinity University. I teach marketing and communication classes. And we had a guest speaker for my women's in organization class. And her name was Monica Palacio. She's running for DC council. She said that you should be thinking about, instead of thinking about being this super person, think about being how you can optimize, work in an optimal environment. So use what you have to get what you want. So think about what you offer, your wow factor. I always talk about that. Think about, in when we talk about brand, it's that characteristic that makes you wow, that excites you, that wants to move you, that you want, that helps you to move through that. And so channel that and find out what you can do. And get yourself a tribe to help you move to your wow factor. You need cheerleaders. People doubt cheerleaders, okay? They say, we're not athletic. We are beneficial.
Yes. Okay?
You need a group of cheerleaders who are going to be realistic, but yet very supportive of next steps, because there's always something next to conquer. I look at it like that.
It's so true. It's so true. And boy, if you didn't think you needed cheerleaders before, you should be feeling like you need them now. You should be feeling like you need them now.
You need cheerleaders. Yes.
We need people who are over there, who are rooting for us. And, you know, I think that so many people get cynical, and they start thinking that the world's out to get them, you know, and they're afraid to trust in others, that others will be there and supporting them. You know, what do you have to say about that? Because that's definitely something that I've heard a lot of people really pushing back in the past about finding their tribe, because they just, they're cynical about believing that others actually can be happy for their success.
It's noise. I have a group of women that I have, I don't vet it. Yes. to be in my group, because you have to be integral and authentic. That's, I have a belief. You can do whatever you want to, whatever industry you're in, but my group of women have to have those components of authenticity and being integral. We're adults, right? Many of us are adults. And we have to learn, we have to understand that we're going to have a few people who don't mean as well, right? But I think what I've met is that the energy that you provide is the energy that you attract. So I have attracted great people who've been authentic and integral. I'm straightforward. So the people that did not, you know, that did not appeal to, they've gone away. They don't even deal in it. They don't like it. Thank you. Thank you. Sincerely. But the people that attracted that to my type of energy, I find that, you know, we've had good synergy and we're able to coexist and partner and be each other's cheerleaders. So if you don't have like a tribe, you can always reach out to me. I always look for new tribe members to connect with, so we can build the connection. I can get to know more. I'm not selling anything, but I definitely believe in finding people who are going to be able to help you, whether it's professionally or personally.
I love that. And I think it's going back to what can people do to make themselves more marketable. You know, when you have that tribe around you, you are extending your knowledge, you're extending your reach, because those people can bring opportunities. They can be looking out for the perfect kind of, you know, even if it's not a position that you might want forever somewhere, it might be the perfect opportunity that would give you that sort of experience, or that sort of just that experience that can help you later down the road. You never know.
Or they can help you, like, you know, when we talk about the associations, they can pass your resume, especially in this city. So I'm a native Washingtonian. The association world, although big, is very small. So I found that, you know, one executive director was somebody's manager that I knew from a long time ago, and people just kind of mesh that way. So, you know, just build your connections, build your tribe, get your connections going that meshes with you as an individual. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So transitioning to marketing, your area of expertise, you know, associations, any association leader is probably thinking right about now, this has been a harrowing year, because if you haven't been impacted by your in-person meetings and in-person education, suddenly having to transition or transition to virtual or be canceled because, you know, you couldn't do the in-person, then you're lucky. But you also have probably been having to have some very difficult conversations and figure out how to communicate on behalf of your organization in a way that you never have before, because this year has introduced the discussion about Black Lives Matter. Even though that's been a discussion, it definitely hit the forefront for everyone to start really addressing these issues. And what does our organization say about this? How do we represent it or talk about it with our members and our volunteers and our different stakeholders and the public at large? And so there are so many different difficult conversations happening, no matter which way you look. So with all of that said, let me ask you the question of, when you talk to someone who is an association executive and they say, oh my gosh, Sharon, I don't even know what to do about my communications and my marketing. Is it okay to market right now? What should I do? What are you talking about?
So my clients, I have a few association clients, and early during COVID, early during George Floyd, there it was, what statements do we put out? And so what I've been preaching all along, which I like that it's just a thing that I've been saying, hey, you need to do this, but today it found its way being important, is authenticity. So what people are generally looking for, you're going to have a few naysayers, but they're generally looking for, how authentic and how socially responsible will your association be in response to what's going on? So many of my association execs felt like, okay, so, but we have to pick a side and we have to use this hashtag, but you don't. You have to be supportive in what your mission states, whatever that is. So for each association that I dealt with, and each client that I dealt with, especially with small businesses too, because I had some restaurants that had to deal with issues that, which were race relation, and they didn't want to say choose a side. It's a difficult conversation. I would say, I'm going to take out difficult. It's a complex conversation to have. And it's it's even more complex communication, because you want to look authentic without looking like you're jumping in the bandwagon. Right. So my suggestion was to build out something that was authentic and integral and consistent. Mm-hmm. So this message was going to last forever, not just in place of what's happening today, but you were going to be able to provide messages that could sustain for hundreds of years, or however long your association or company was going to live long. And that was challenging, right? Because again, you don't know what that is. Some of the clients had to change their mission statements.
That's a big step, you know?
Yes, that's a big step for more inclusive conversation, messaging. So if you were having that trouble, or you're still having that trouble, I would suggest to associations to take a peek at your mission statement. That way your communication strategy and your marketing strategy can mimic the mission statement, and it'd be a thing for all time, not just a time, right?
At first it was, how do we communicate about, what's happening with canceled events and canceled annual meetings and stuff like that. and how do we communicate or market upcoming meetings, because they were pushing out into the future, not sure if the virus would be gone or what was going to happen. Then it was, okay, we're taking a look at our social contracts, you know, now because we have protests happening and people are saying, where do you stand on Black Lives Matter? It really does right now that you say something, but don't let it be, you know, just posting your black square in your social media. You have to do more than just, you know, put, just basically have, you know, something that's saying, okay, this is good enough and moving along. You have to actually, you know, basically make your statement, say where you stand. And then now, as we're moving towards the end of the year, there's still that, but there's also the, okay, this is continuing on. A lot of budget and financial decisions are really starting to take effect now. There are some very difficult conversations that are being had with staff and with deciding what the future is for the organizations. And so those conversations are now, you know, coming into focus. And I'm hearing more questions about, well, so how do we communicate and market to our membership when we've just let go of a huge portion of our staff, or, you know, and so what do you have to say about those types of issues?
So a couple of things. I think there's two layers to this, to the employees that are being left off, laid off, or could be laid off. I think that that association should build a communication plan of being a resource. We know this has to happen for you. So here is a data bank. Maybe your resume. Maybe there's a resume service that we can't pay employees, but maybe we can pay a resume service where 300 or 10% of the employees can take advantage of this resume service, or all of them who are getting laid off can take advantage of this resume service. But I think first the company has to communicate that this is a possibility, A, because of our financial situation in these times, and we are here to help you through the transition our best way possible. Mm-hmm. Secondly, with the membership, also, we are going through this time. Being very vulnerable is, I think, the thing to do today. People are very casual these days. They're very casual. They're very understanding. We just talked about me delivering the training with my granddaughter.
Dog come in at any point now. We just don't know.
Right. So I think we should. This is a lesson to us that we should definitely keep that momentum, especially when things especially when we move forward in the next phase of what happens, that we'll have a fusion of what was and now what is. So I think companies should really start to, it's okay to market to your membership of, here is what we can offer in this time. Businesses, associations need to always be ready to pivot. So you still need to be able to stay in that same lane. That mission statement is very important, so you can be able to twirl around it and change position at any time. So I'm all about internal communications with all stakeholders, especially the employees, to be a resource, and to the membership to be a resource. Because right now, associations they're more beneficial being a resource to their members. That we can't hold events, right? Or we're holding these online events, which I hear I still speak, and the online events aren't as nice as the in-person events. People are getting a little antsy. So you need to give them what they want. Professional development, things that you can do within your financial piece.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is kind of a tricky situation because, you know, as much as at the beginning, people were saying, oh, we're reaching so many more people because it's virtual, and now people are able to participate you know, people who never were able to participate before. And that is amazing. It's great. And it's so awesome. But now, you know, in between different events, I'm starting to hear people talk about, well, how many people are actually showing up, you know, versus signing up. We all know the old trick of signing up for webinars and we know we're going to get the recording later. Most of the time we're not watching the recording later. And now people are starting to say, okay, you know, especially like exhibitors are saying,
yes,
okay, so I'm supposed, you say that you had so many thousand sign up, but how many people actually were here to participate and interact with me? And, you know, and these are really important questions that there aren't really hard and fast answers for folks. Right. It changes, it varies, and it just kind of depends. So again, we're at this place, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Can we depend on that revenue? So, you know, you are saying, I think, something that's so important, which is look back at that mission statement, go back to the mission. You know, do you, what do you think about the role of associations at a time like this? In recent history, in recent years, people have talked about, do we really need associations? Are associations dying because we have the membership economy and you can find for-profits that do a lot of the same things? What do you think about that?
So my background is associations. I love associations versus for-profit. That's my personal preference in if I had to be an employee. And I liked it because it was mission-based, right? So it was not money motivated. It was mission. So you felt like you're doing something for a purpose. And I think that we have to get back to that, understanding that we're working towards a purpose, not just a paycheck, right? And so you would get more people who would be more engaged to build better associations in from my perspective, because I started out, early 90s in the association world. And it was always every association job I had, it was like, we're about this mission, whatever it was, they were about this mission and their events, move toward those mission statements. However, I think what has happened is that we've become more money driven, right? Yeah. More events driven, bodies, we need bodies and seats, butts and seats, right? We need it. And I think we should go back to the mission and find other alternative ways to make money or to find grants that could provide us money so that we could be able to execute the mission instead of the money.
You know, yes. I mean, obviously you're on association chat. Like clearly I like am super biased for
yeah.
However, I have to say, I mean, you know, I think it is the tough times when you're reminded of why an organization like an association exists.
Yeah.
Because it is mission driven. It is beyond just figuring out how to be more innovative or how to sell. Which has been the big argument, like be more like for profits, be more like these large companies so that you can be more innovative and sell. And it's like, oh, but it's really about this mission, bringing people together around a mission. And you can still do that even in, and in fact, you must do that even at times.
Right. I think it's where the partnerships then come into play.
Yeah.
You have an association that will deal with an industry giant and bam, everybody doesn't have to do the work.
Yeah.
We need, if is one thing I have learned during this time is I certainly need people. Certainly need people. That is not absent of businesses at all. We need other businesses to thrive, large and small.
You know, this may be that cheerleader through line for you, you know, because again, it's that collaboration, you know, it's that working together because certainly united we stand, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. United we stand.
Yeah. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about you and your business and your plans for moving forward, because you are always doing fascinating things. And I want people to know a little bit more about what you've got going on. So talk to me about your business today. I know that you have had these leadership meetings in person in the past. What's happening with those? How has your business adapted? Mm-hmm. Catch me up on all things Sharon.
Perfect. With the P3 Solutions, there are two arms. There's Sharon Washington, and then there's the P3 Solution. I have websites for both. So the P3 Solution deals in graphic design, social media management, strategy, all things marketing. Sharon Washington, however, is Marcom, that's / marketing and communication, because I teach interpersonal communication, intercultural communication, and all sorts of communication courses. So there have been two areas. I'm always about options. Yes. So for me, it's about having the options to move around. My friends, my tribe will tell you that they are like, what's happening today? What are you doing? I can't follow what's happening. It is all in a bigger scheme to do marketing and communication, to mix, to mesh that, to have great synergy. And so what my business during COVID, let's see, what had happened was that there's an uptick. So what happens usually in tragedy, especially nationally. So I think 2008 financial crash, right? People get rid of the marketers first.
Yeah.
they always do, because we spend money. We are, it's a spending function, not a money making function. I tell people that all the time. So as a marketer, sometimes we're out of business, out of business. However, that quickly becomes realized 60 days later.
Yes.
That it was a mistake. I think we need a marketer too. So we need to hire somebody back. So what that has done for my business is there are more inquiries about having more contract work as marketing. So it becomes a seasonal kind of thing. So right now, the P3 Solution is super busy, and I have people that help me with that side of the business. For Sharon Washington, it's much more complex. So I'm a speaker. I facilitate marketing and selling classes with Goldman Sachs. I'm a professor at Trinity, and I teach two classes a semester. I've taught every semester since 1996. Since 2006. Every semester.
Incredible.
So I'm still teaching and I still speak. The great thing about it is I don't have to travel. But if you know, I have so much energy to give that it's becoming like, I need to get back on the stage. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But people are still hiring me to speak at their events because, as you know, if you're in the back-to-back Zoom or WebEx or whatever platform you're using, people get bored fairly easy. So they need someone to grasp their attention. So on the Sharon Washington side, I'm still with Goldman Sachs. I'm still teaching for Trinity. Trinity Pride, I'm a Trinity alum. And I've also gotten the opportunity. So I'm a member of IAVM, the International Association for Venue Managers. Nice. So I'm on the diversity. Thank you. I love that group. I am on their diversity and inclusion leadership committee. So I'm working through some things to kind of help them out in that area. In addition to that, I've been able to get contracts to train large companies on diversity, implicit bias. So what's pivoting, what's changing is it's less marketing focus and more of the communication side. Gosh. Which is perfect for me.
Yeah, that is perfect. I mean, perfect. You never get bored, right?
No.
Because there's always something different that's going on. And so, it's been such an interesting thing to see my speaker friends who are, you know, they have these other aspects. Now, some folks, they only are like, they only
right.
see all they
right.
do.
Right.
And this has been really kind of, well, it just hasn't been a very good situation for them because, you know, the one thing I'll say is that, and it seems like it's been true. I'm not sure if it still is, you know, all the way across the board, but is that they're not paying for the big price.
No.
You know, you don't have all of the travel and the in-person and all of the stuff that goes along with it. And so
you don't have the high dollar. And so you're losing vendors, you're losing your exhibitors. And so there you have it. You're losing sponsorships.
I know. I keep thinking about that. And I'm like, you know, what is the answer? The thing is it's such a unique situation because, you know, yes, there's hybrid and there's all these different things we can do, but it's going to be a while before, I mean, even after, it's going to be quite a while before the same types of numbers would even be possible. So, you know, in looking at it, we just have to think about new ways, new approaches, and just changing. And that is a scary word for folks who are really tired.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, for my speaker friends, right? Here's the time to build in your knowledge base.
Yeah.
So you can create new stuff with, like, I think of this as an opportunity. I'm a puzzle person, right? Mm-hmm. By the way, today is what? National Train Your Brain Day today. So
yes,
National Train Your Brain. So I'm a puzzle person. And this is a puzzle that I must figure out for myself. And I think if we start to, our mindset must change. If for anyone who is feeling the pressure and anxiety and uncertainty of today, your mindset must change so your actions will follow. And if you look at this like a puzzle that you can solve, it's not unsolvable. Mm-hmm. You are employable. You have knowledge that you can provide, maybe not on stage, but you can build your own stages. I see an uptick in podcasting, right? Mm-hmm. You can make different types of podcasts, like be creative, Here's an opportunity to be as creative as you want and people accept it because more people are paying attention.
That is so true.
So it's good to just kind of lean into it. I know it is easier to think about what is happening like and get into the mindset of this is uncertain. I'm anxious. I'm scared. I'm fearful. You can't use that. You can't use fear, anxiety, or uncertainty. You need to use that mindset to be more creative and move forward more.
Well, see, so on that last night, I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about my daughter's a big Broadway, you know, aficionado fan. Saw that it was going to be until May before, you know, tickets were going to be on sale. And so she was just, you know, so sad. And I started thinking about, well, you know, what was happening during Shakespeare's time, you know, in the theater and all of this stuff. And did you know that, so Shakespeare had gotten started, he was on the stage, his plays were on the stage. Uh-huh. And the Black Death went through London. Theaters were shut down. They didn't know much, but they knew that when people got together that they, you know, were able to pass it along. Uh-huh. So theaters were shut down, just like they are today. And it was during this time that he wrote King Lear. And I thought, I've been trying to grow tomatoes. Where's my King Lear? You know, like, what have I been doing?
Right, right.
And so, and it was after this time that the Enlightenment happened. And so mm-hmm. I started thinking, all of us who are hunkering down and we're spending, and we're getting bored, this is a springboard
for
us to really find some, not just inventive solutions, but to really, this is our excuse if we needed one to be more creative, you know?
You can. I'm telling you, you never know. I am coming out with a cookbook.
What?
A marketing cookbook, yes. So I'm going to have marketing tips inside of the different that correspond with the different recipes, and it's supposed to be fall. And so my friends keep reminding me, I haven't seen your recipe book. I'm like, it's coming, it's coming. See, the slowdown has made me go, oh, it's coming.
It's coming. I'm getting it. It's my calendar. No, this is live, though. So it's accountability. So they're saying, hey, where is this?
Yes. Yes. So they can cook. And I want to do like cooking classes and things like that. And I also, so if you have not, if any associations, if the executives, you have not, build yourself a list of things that you want to do. I don't care if it's a choreographer or, you know, whatever it is that you want to do, a chef, you want to bake, you want to make candles, whatever it is, make a list and start checking it off as you complete each skill set, so that you can see your accomplishments. It's good to see it, to be like, okay, now it's great to experience it, but then once you see that you can actually do this and you're getting things accomplished, you're going to feel better.
Do you know that I have had on my list of things that I want to learn? This is silly, but I hope you'll appreciate it.
It's not silly. It's not
I silly. Have wanted to, it is kind of, it's like I wanted to learn how to juggle. For
Do years. It!
And I have not done it. I'll try like a little bit and then I'll put them down because I'm like, I feel stupid. I need to do that.
Juggle and show people. So people want to see that. If we talk about social media and we talk about marketing, people yes. want to be able to know, like, and trust you, right? So, yes, they want to hear about the professional piece of how to build the marketing. But imagine, Kiki, if you were juggling, talking about, hey, so what associations should do? You're multitasking. So here's an effective way to multitask while you're juggling. If you juggle, I can't do two things, juggle or whistle. So
whistle?
No.
I wish I had. You could see how bad I was at juggling. We'll have to get together. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you'll learn the skill set. I will clap you. I will share it. I'd like to see what you could learn during COVID. And it's not silly because you have mastered the skill set. That means you took the time to create discipline to master this skill set. And I think that that's what we don't see outside of all of this, is that it's a reason. It's a reason why we need to slow down. And as you stated, get aligned. There's mm-hmm. alignment that needs to happen in our lives.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I knew this was going to be so fun talking with you.
I liked it.
I was looking forward to this for so long. But I was having the hardest time even what to call this, because I knew I had a million questions for you. This question is, I'll be very curious to hear your answer too, because at the end of every interview, I've been asking guests our question of the week in the association chat private Facebook group, there's a question of the week. Mm-hmm. And so each time I have a guest for the podcast on, I've been asking the question of the week. And this week, I wasn't sure if it was going to be the right question because it had specifically to do with associations, but with your association background and the associations you work with, this is perfect. Yes. So here it is. Okay. This is the question of the week. What is your best advice for someone who wants to work in associations?
You will get so much variety for those people who believe you'll go in an association. I don't care where you enter, finance, fulfillment, marketing, events, exhibits, wherever you enter, you will get so much variety and so much education by working in an association. Of all my years of working in multiple associations, I have been in marketing, learning events, learning HR at some times, fundraising. I could tell you, I may couldn't be very necessarily proficient in grant writing, but I certainly would be close to being able to help someone create a brand. I think the opportunity that associations provides for employees is the opportunity to be whatever you want to be. You can explore any piece of any department, at least for the situations. I've been in small offices of 10 or less, and I've been in large offices of 200 employees or more. And I find that no matter what, it's the smaller the office, the more experience you're going to get anyway by default. But the larger the office, there are opportunities for you to do some cross learning. So if you're thinking about getting in the association environment, or you're like, oh, I'm not too sure, because sometimes when I talk about associations, people confuse them with nonprofits, right? So you totally, it's different entities, right? It's different. So, but associations, they work mission-based and they have lots to do. So it's always about joining in. At least I felt like there wasn't really hierarchy. I mean, there's hierarchy, but there wasn't really like a place where I felt like stagnant that I couldn't go and try something. If I wanted to learn about HR, no one was going to say, yeah, no. Right. You are in marketing. You could not learn it about HR. In fact, they're going to say, oh, we have plenty of work for you to do.
We've been waiting for you forever.
Exactly. So come on, if you can this, hello, this is going to be, we're going to make us, it's going to make us happy. So variety.
Yes. And variety is the spice of life after all. So thank you. I knew that you were going to be so good with this question. So if people want to reach out to you, where's the best place to go? What's the best, where should they connect with you?
They can connect with me. I'm on every social media platform that's made, right? So it could be Sharon Washington, or they can find me at CEOP3. Simple. Okay. They can either even visit my website, SharonWashington.com, or the P3Solution.com. And I'm also on TikTok. So I've been playing with TikTok these days. Yeah. And it's been fun.
I'm going to have to find you on TikTok. My old TikToks that I did from, like, I mean, they're old. They're sad. They're real.
No, they're not. They're not sad. Look, we're there. I hashed Gen X all the time because I want people to know that Gen Xers exist on TikTok. We're here. And we do just as good, almost.
I mean, I don't know.
It's just, you know, sometimes I see it and I go, oh my God, they're so creative. Oh, yeah. I can possibly. Plus, you have to have a lot of time. So I don't have a lot of time. I can either watch it or create one. So I choose.
It could be my new channel for juggling, is all I'm saying. I mean, that could be.
Yes. Record your progress. I'm telling you.
Well, thank you for joining me this week. I'm so thankful that we were able to talk about marketing your organization, marketing yourself. Hey, and we're gonna market 2020 and make it so that we're seeing the positive that can come out of all of this, friends. I really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Fantastic.
This is exciting.
So with that, I wish all of you a fantastic rest of the week. And you know, at the end of every association chat, we always end the same way. And it's this wonderful quote by Joseph Campbell: the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek. So with that, I hope you have a great week, everyone.